This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You go to log in to your Gmail and need to wait for a text with a code to authenticate your account. Google reportedly ditching that method of authentication. Tech contributor Ian Scherer joins us now on that issue and some other issues people have been having with Slack. Ian, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Absolutely.
So what's the issue with SMS text authentication?
Generally speaking, it was a really great idea for a long time, right? Essentially what would happen is that to keep scammers from stealing your passwords and succeeding, what Google had done and a lot of companies done, right, even banks and whatnot, is that they would keep a record of your cell phone number on their systems. And whenever you tried to log in and their systems thought, hey, this is weird, like you're logging in from a place you don't normally log in or from a computer that you don't usually use, it would ask you to enter a code that they would send to your text message, and you would be able to log in at that point. Unfortunately, hackers have found ways to use that system or abuse it and essentially use it to hack into other emails. So now a number of people have actually found that if a hacker knows your cell phone number, they often will call the cell phone company, try to essentially steal your cell phone number and get the authentication code. And so Google says, look, this was a great idea, but we're going to get rid of it.
What are they going to instead?
So what they're going to switch to is there's going to be a bunch of different options. The most popular one is currently is basically an app you download. So you download an app to your mobile phone and you log into it kind of the first time around, and it basically becomes your way of logging in. So if you are trying to log in from a computer that you don't know, that's not usual or whatever, you need to have your phone on you because it'll have that special code. Another way also these companies are trying to kind of extend into this stuff is by using biometrics. They're actually trying to make it so that you could scan your face with a camera and be able to log in that way. So there's a lot of different things that they're trying. But the bottom line is that instead of SMS, at least for now, they think that stuff like using an app would be at least a little more safe.
One of the things that I heard that they might go to was QR codes, but that doesn't seem like that would be any safer from hacking.
Well, it actually could be, because what would happen is the QR code would be connected to, for example, the app on your phone. So you would scan the QR code, it would talk to the Google app on your phone, and then it would say, oh, this is actually the person who says that they are, right? But that is part of the problem here, is that hacking in a lot of ways is like, whenever you try to build a better mousetrap, here comes a better mouse to get around it. And odds are they're gonna still have to struggle against a lot of this hacking, even without SMS.
Any idea on when Google will roll this out for Gmail?
Yeah, they're going to be starting to do it over the next few months. One of the things that's really tough about this is that when you make this type of move, I mean, first off, a lot of people have to learn how to use a new system, but also Google is used by billions of people, right? So they're going to be kind of careful about how they do this, and they'll give you warning. They'll start telling you, hey, you need to change the way you log in with us. And eventually that'll all happen.
One other story I wanted to ask you about, Ian, a lot of offices run on Slack for their online working groups. It became even more popular during the pandemic, but a lot of users had problems this week. What happened?
Yeah, actually yesterday, Slack stopped working in the morning Eastern time, and it was not really restored for nearly 12 hours. It was a very unusual thing to see because a lot of these services now have become pretty rock solid, right, to the point where businesses rely on them. And it's not like Facebook going down. When Slack isn't working, there are millions of people inside of companies who rely on it to be able to communicate with one another. My wife's work, for example, actually doesn't use email at all. They just use Slack. So it can be really disruptive, and it's been interesting seeing them struggle to get it back online. But according to Slack, which, by the way, is owned by Salesforce, another popular business app, they say that they got it back working last night, essentially around 7:45 Eastern.
So any hints to what happened to make a system like that go down?
That is the most frustrating part, is that we don't really have a lot of laws around forcing transparency around these things. If there is a data breach, the company will have to communicate that to the public in a certain amount of time. But anything else, they're not required to tell us. And so all they say is that they've restored the functionality, and we may never know what happened here. Which is it can be concerning, and also it could also be that it was just someone who tripped over a power cord, and that itself is frustrating, not really knowing.
CBS tech contributor Ian Scherer, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Absolutely.